If you have your Bibles, if you'd like to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 3, and verse 1. Before I read it, though, I'd like us to spend just a moment or two in silence, just preparing our hearts for what God's going to say to us today. So let's just be quiet before him now. John chapter 3, verse 1. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they're old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know. We testify to what we've seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things?" Matthew 28:18 says this. Jesus said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you till the end of the age." Next verse I want to read is from Acts 1, verses 4 and 5. Let's read these together. "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised. John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit." In Acts 1, verse 8. Again, let's say this together. "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth." I pray that God will write those words on our hearts this morning, words of life. John baptized with water for the forgiveness of sin. Jesus ascended back into heaven and sent the promised Holy Spirit to empower us so that we, with that power, the Holy Spirit, can be fruitful children of God in terms of spreading the gospel. And I'm aware in some circles people mock the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I've heard it mocked in many churches. But one feels that Nicodemus was probably in that same place of not understanding, not accepting. And Jesus makes the point that being born of the flesh is normal. It's a normal birth. But it's simply not enough if we want to walk as children of God. We also need to be born again, born of the Spirit. The important point I'd like to make this morning is that we can receive the Holy Spirit into our lives and can be filled with the Spirit, but then we sort of can fade away, as it were, and go quieter and have less fire in our innards, as it were. We have to ask ourselves, have we received the Holy Spirit? And if we have, will we allow the Holy Spirit to have freedom in our lives? Are we happy to be guided and led by the Holy Spirit of the living God? What does someone look like who's been born again? What would you expect to see in that person? This is a question, isn't it? What do you expect to see in someone who's born again? Well, look again at the gifts of the Spirit. Consider all the giftings that are there as part of God's promise to us. Without the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't have them. Wisdom. How much do we need wisdom in this day in which we live? I believe we need wisdom every day, the wisdom of God. Knowledge. We need to use that so much too in prayer ministry and all that we say and do. And faith, not just faith in Jesus, but faith to do the things that he calls us to do. Jesus calls each one of us, and he gives us all that we need to fulfill that calling. He never asks us to do things that he's not going to empower us with. I think it's important we understand that. Healing, miraculous powers. And how much we need that healing in the church, between relationships, physically, spiritually, mentally. We need the healing that only God can give. And that's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, to bring healing to people. In prayer ministry and confronting the powers that come against us, we need the wisdom and guidance and strength of the Holy Spirit. Prophecy. We need that in our preaching, in our worship, in prayer. Distinguishing spirits. It's important in our Christian lives that we know what's coming from where. We get a load of things drawn across our path day by day. We need to know whether they're of God, whether it's the enemy trying to distract us. Particularly this happens for people who are busy in their lives. Things come pounding in, and we need that message of the Holy Spirit of what's right and what's not right. The devil longs to bring good ideas across our path. We go racing after them, but they're not actually what God wants at all. Tongues. We need that gift of tongues, I believe, to praise God. I still find it very difficult to praise God for 5 minutes in English. I run out of words after about a minute or two. We need the gift of the Holy Spirit to praise God, to worship God, to speak to God with the gift of tongues. Interpretation too. So important when we meet together as the Church of God. When someone gives a tongue, we need that word of interpretation. And God wants to pour out all these gifts upon us. The question is, how do we receive them? Like this or like this? We have a choice. And I wonder which of these Christian gifts the folks see in you. If I went around the room now and asked you, what Christian gift do you think your folks see in you? I wonder what you'd reply. If you don't know, ask a friend whom you trust, who will be honest with you. And I'm sure he or she will tell you what giftings you have. And we need to consider all the opportunities and encouragement we have as Christians when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, how can we be faithful in prayer? And how seriously do we take prayer in our daily lives? Is prayer one of the structures, as it were, in our daily living? And serving. How are we serving the Lord? Do we serve the Lord with joy? We think, oh, I better do it. I ought to do it. I must do it, really. There's no joy in it. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we serve God with joy in our hearts. Over many, many years, I've probably told you before, I've seen people polishing brass and doing sweeping, cleaning, with begrudged heart. Oh, I don't like doing this, but I better do it, or else someone will grumble. That is not serving the Lord with joy. Teaching others the truth about Jesus. Encouraging one another. I don't know why, but it seems to be a spirit in so many churches that encouragement seems to be one of the signs of the Spirit that seems to be missing. Grumbling, moaning, complaining, very high. Encouragement, down there somewhere. We need to be those who encourage one another. I don't mind who we are, where we're sitting, how old we are, anything else. We all need to be encouraged, I think, in our walk with Christ. On our own, it's a very lonely track, and we can get sidetracked so easily. We need that spirit of encouragement to be here in the church, amongst church members, amongst the fellowship, in our daily lives. Would we give generously to the work of God if we're not filled with the Spirit? God wants us to be quick, if you like, to serve him, not just with money, which is important, but also the gifts we have, the time we have. And so often we can be so begrudging in our giving. The gift of leadership. We do not want to be a sheep without a shepherd. Hospitality, something we can all do. Are we hospitable as Christians? And administration often gets knocked so badly in churches. Oh, they're just administering things, sorting things out. They need to be done if we're in a busy church. Things do not happen by accident. And if you look at the program we have here in this church, without any administration, it'd be absolute chaos. There's something happening every day which needs to be sorted out. Now, it's obvious and indeed biblical that we don't see all these gifts in one person. As we read in 1 Corinthians, we're all part of one body. And we all have different roles to play within that body. We're not all arms, we're not all ears. Think about your human body. We all have loads of different parts within our body. And if the church of God is going to function, all the parts need to be working properly and together. If people are quenching the Spirit or grieving the Holy Spirit, the body's less than it should be. Every part needs to be connected. Every part needs to be working in harmony. So we have to ask ourselves, what part are we playing in the body of Christ? What gifting has God given to you? Are you using it or are you holding back? What are you bringing to the church? And again, we have to ask this question, how are we living in our daily Christian lives? Are we being faithful in prayer? It's so easy, I think, to give God a nod now and then when we think of him. But we need to be faithful in our prayer lives. We need God in our life every day. If there's anyone who doesn't think they need God in their life every day, I tell you, you're wrong. We need God every moment of every day in our lives. And if we're not prayerful people, it is so easy to go wrong. Do we pray 3 times a day, for example? Do we pray once a day? It's a question we have to answer. And are we faithful in reading the scriptures every day? And do we pray that the Holy Spirit's going to take those words of life and make them leap off the page so that we can receive them into our hearts? I think John prayed something similar earlier. We don't just hear the word of God, but we actually take it on board and it becomes part of our daily life. Are we faithful in reading the scriptures? Are we faithful in serving the Lord here in this place? In teaching, encouraging, giving generously, and so on. What fruit of the Spirit does the outside world see in you and me and us as a church? Think again of the fruit of the Spirit, of love, joy, and peace. Those are surely qualities which each one of us individually and together as a church should be so visible, because they're so contrary to the way of the world. How much love do we see outside in the secular world? We see people wanting things, desiring things, killing for things, blowing people up for things. But how much love do we see? You and I were called to be different, to show love, to show joy in our daily lives. Be people of peace. When all the world is going mad round about us, we need the peace of God deep in our hearts. This is part of the fruit of the Spirit. And the other ones which you know so well, patience. You see so much impatience, at least I do, when I'm driving around, and not just in me either. We need patience as Christians. Kindness. And that's always seen something that gets ridiculed in the world today, certainly in this country. People do not expect to see kind people. They think there's something wrong with you if you're kind to someone. Can I help you? No, they shudder. Goodness. The things that are other than good we see regularly in our newspapers, in the press, on television, wherever we look. Goodness is not something we see very much of, is it? I don't see much of it in the recorded newspapers. Faithfulness. And again, today, generally speaking as a nation, I think we're very fickle. Faithfulness doesn't stand for much, I don't think. What else have we got? Gentleness. Have you got a gentle spirit within you? I pray that all of us have, as we receive God into our hearts. And self-control. I was watching a football match on two nights ago, I think, a Spanish football match. Self-control was something that was not in evidence. Some of the kicking and the things that went on, I mean, it was outrageous. If it happened in this country, they'd probably get arrested and put into prison. But we need to be people who have a gentle spirit within us. And people recognize that because it's so different from everything else that we see round about us. As you consider all of this, and there's a lot, isn't there? Let's be honest with God. Let's say to the Lord, if I haven't been baptized already by the Holy Spirit, will you baptize me now? Remember Nicodemus? It's good being born physically, as it were. We need to be born spiritually and to be filled with that Spirit. Some people need to be refilled with the Holy Spirit. I heard somebody last week saying, I'm leaking. Acts 2:4, all were filled, not touched, all were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Acts 4, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. I pray that for this congregation here, that when we pray together, this place shakes. We need shaking as well, I think, quite often. We get so used to being so average. God wants us to be different, to be shaken, to be on fire with love for Jesus. Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I think generally as Christians, we underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit. I really think we do. We are in a spiritual battle. I think we all know that anyway. So we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit if we can live as Christian men and women. If you try and do it in your own strength, let me tell you one thing, you'll fail. I promise you that. God will let you go on failing till you get the message. We all need that heavenly power, that heavenly protection that we need. We need the full armor of God that Gabriel was speaking on, I think, the other week. We need that gospel of peace. We need that helmet of salvation. We need that shield of faith. We need all the things that God gives us. And do you think he'd give them to us if we didn't need them? Think about that. Would God give us all of this if we did not need it? Of course he wouldn't. Why would he? When we think about the Holy Spirit, we tend to look on the defensive side, you know, the armor of God and everything else. This morning, I want you to concentrate on the positive side, what Jesus calls us to do, to take the gospel out into our homes, into our families, onto the streets, into the nations of the world. We have a tremendous calling. What are we going to do about it? And if we're filled with the Holy Spirit, God gives us the boldness to speak that word of God to the folk we meet. Remember Simon Peter, an uneducated man, yet filled with the Spirit, stood up and 3,000 people came to the Lord. Wow, pray that for today. Wouldn't it be great today? 3,000 people in battle came to the Lord. Wouldn't it? Brilliant. And what a change it would make to life here in this town. It would transform it. And I'm sure that some of you are feeling, do I really need to be filled with the Holy Spirit? I'm a bit frightened of what God might ask me to do. In response to that very question, Jesus answered his disciples, do you think God's going to give you something bad? Think about it. Do you think God's going to give you something bad? He tells us to pray for the Holy Spirit. Now, do you think that's going to be bad? Of course it's not. We have a good God. And when you personally think about the Holy Spirit, what is the main thing that comes into your mind? What's the first thing? Shout it out. What's the first thing that comes to your mind when you think of the Holy Spirit?
Power.
Power? Yeah. What else?
Love.
Joy.
Joy,
yeah. Hope. Yeah.
Peace.
I have four words for you today to take home. The first one is promise. Jesus promised to send us the Holy Spirit. If we're going to be true to the scriptures that we say we are, we need to receive that Holy Spirit into our lives. Have you received the Holy Spirit into your life? Power. Have you been clothed with that power from on high? Are you aware that God has actually filled you afresh with his Holy Spirit? Passion. How passionate are you about your faith? We need to be on fire with love for God. And to do that, we need to be passionate. We're passionate about many things in this country, but we don't see that many people actually being passionate about their faith in Christ. Is the fire of God burning within you? Jesus promised to baptize us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. We've sang it about this morning, the fire of God. Are we on fire with love for God? I pray that we are. And all that comes out too with our prayer relationship with God. Are we in touch with God through prayer? Or do we just pray when we're in trouble? Prayer and praise are central to our faith. I do pray again about our passion for Jesus. I know in my own life, I think the fire's gone down these past few months. It's got lower and lower. And I need to be refilled with that passion for telling people about Christ. Are you filled with that passion that comes from God? He wants us to be passionate. He wants us to be prayerful. He wants us to have that power in our lives. We're not powerless Christians. We have all the power, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, is in our lives now. What are we going to do about it? Are we leaking? Have we not been baptized with the Holy Spirit? Do we need that fresh touch from him today because things have got a bit stale, or a bit dim, or a bit low? Let's examine ourselves. Have we been born again? Have we been baptized with the Holy Spirit, but are now leaking? Do you think that you've really received that power from on high into your life, clothed with power, as we read earlier? Have you been quenching the Holy Spirit or grieving the Holy Spirit? So easy to do. Take these four words home with you today. The promise, the power, the passion, and the prayer. And ask God to speak to you through them. God, particularly today, probably every day, is calling us as Christian people to be passionate in our prayer life. To be committed Christians, not half-hearted ones. That's almost a contradiction to be half-hearted, I think, but still. We need to be passionate about our faith, about Jesus. So easy to take Christianity for granted. God doesn't want us to take him for granted, I can promise you that. God wants us to grow in faith and to be faithful. He wants his church to be people at the back here queuing to get in here. If you look at the number of Christians in this church, for example, 200 or whatever, do you think God is satisfied with just 200? I don't. Jesus came because he loved all of God's creation and wanted to see them saved. Amen?
Amen.
That's what God wants from you and me. A passion, a deep desire in our hearts to be on fire with love for God. God doesn't want us to be part-time Christians. He doesn't want us to have a little flame in our hearts. He wants us on fire with love for God, to be deeply passionate. We see people deeply passionate in all other realms of you see businessmen who are passionate about their businesses. You see sportsmen who are passionate about their faith. What I think God wants is Christians who are passionate in their faith, who are on fire with love for God. Is God speaking to you about this morning? If you don't feel you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit, today is the day. Amen. Come forward, we'll pray for you. If you think you've been leaking and you need a refill from God, ask God to refill you. God wants to bless you. He doesn't want to beat you, he wants to bless you. And some of me think, well, I'm not sure I can trust him for that. Why not? He made you. He made the world. God wants to touch your life this morning, I believe, and to empower you with that passion, with that prayer, with that promise of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to pray for a few moments, and I'm going to ask Lynn to play Move Holy Spirit. It's a beautiful little song. We can sing it or not sing, or just let the words minister to you. But if you want God to touch your life, to be blessed by him today, come out. Dennis is here, up here. Keith Barnes is there. Come out and let us pray for you. We're not going to do it. God's going to do it. And he wants to bless you. And God doesn't want one person to leave here this morning without being blessed by him. Because that's what he wants. That's how God is. So as Lynn plays, if you want prayer for, come out. Let us pray for you. If you want God's blessing upon you with the Holy Spirit today. It's all right. We're not taking names or addresses. Just move as God moves in your heart now, I pray. God doesn't want us to be shy. He wants us to be bold, to be passionate. Keith, can you come out as well? Some people to be prayed with. Just move as God
moves
you.
Move, Holy Spirit, we ask you to.
The vial, within the vial.
Within the vial. At some point, it's particularly meaningful to make me, but I became as baptized this year.
Yesterday I was driving one of these great big minibuses, and you put your foot down, and there came a point at which no matter how many gears you change, no matter how hard you put your foot down, it would not go any faster. How one longed for a sports car. Not because you have to go fast, but you can. And I think that's the difference with the Holy Spirit within you. you can change anything. You don't have to, but you can. And when you try and do it in your own strength, you fail. Well, I talk for myself. You fail all the time. You can't change anything. With the Holy Spirit, everything is possible.